$150 statue I got for free. He's like, dude, I'd sell it. It's like, well, maybe, but I would like to have, like, one of those things, like, that's something I would like to buy.
Right.
I just don't want to spend $150 on it.
You got one free.
If I got it for free, I'm not going to turn around and sell it because I'm,
because you would have wanted it anyway.
Yeah. So, speaking of getting stuff that we want.
We're on.
We're on. It's Merry Christmas.
Oh, Lord.
Merry Christmas, bro.
Merry Christmas.
It's December 24th.
Oh, wow.
And it's Christmas Eve.
Gumbo's gone right now.
So, it is now, what is this? This is episode 115 of the Scary Dad Podcast, December 24th, 2018. And this is our annual Christmas episode. It's not a special episode because it's on a Monday.
Right.
So we're good to go. But, all right, let's see what Mr. Gomez.
First, the old business.
All right, this guy keeps showing up in our feeds, but Captain Cook, on this date in 1777, the island was called Kiritimati, or, you know, Christmas Island, was discovered by Captain James Cook. On this date in 1814, the United States and the and Britain signed the Treaty of Ghent, ending the War of 1812 in 1814.
So again, we started in 1812.
An inaptly named war, for sure. All right. 1851, the Library of Congress in Washington, D.C. burns. That's not good.
No. Never good to lose history.
Could lose this. 1865, the Ku Klux Klan is formed. That could definitely go away.
Yeah, I've had my experiences with some of those
fuckers.
You know, back when I was in college, there was on public access in Lafayette, there was actually a talk show put on by the Grand Wizard of the Knights of the White Camellia, which was a local Klan group in Lafayette. His name was Daryl. Shit. Damn it. Can't remember his last name. His first name was Daryl. I remember that. And one night I'm at a bar, and I run into him, some of his goons, at the bar I was at. And it was just not... He was an asshole, man, beyond belief. He was just a piece of shit.
Most of those people are. Like, just and when I say most of those people, I don't mean to say that the ones that aren't straight-up in-your-face assholes don't suck.
Right.
But the ones that, you know, it's like you're not going to normally just meet somebody who's just sweetness and light and, you know, loves children and dogs and then just has that white thing hanging in their closet. I mean, like, most of them are going to be assholes straight through.
And that was during a time when David Duke was running for Congress back then, and it was just a bad, bad time, dude. It was scary sometimes, man. Because I remember one day, the bar I bounced at, it was near the College Strip, and that's where the bar was where I'd seen him. But I was working one night as a bouncer, and there were these two twins, just two other black guys, worked at a bar a little bit further down. These two twins, Dwayne and Dwight. And the cops had pulled over. The way the strip worked, it was two blocks of bars, and every once in a while they'd leave the road open where you could still drive down it. And the cops had stopped this car that had apparently passed a few times, and some of the guys in the car had apparently flashed a gun, is what was reported. It was some black guys in the car. So the cops go to pull the car over. Next thing I know, me, Dwayne, and Dwight are standing there watching all this shit, and all the bars empty out. And there's just, this is like a sea of white people, and they all start chanting, dude, dude, dude. One of the scariest moments of my life.
Oh, crap.
And I looked at Dwayne and Dwight and said, let's go inside. I was like, I'm not about to get caught up in this fervor. Because, you know, a crowd of people can do really stupid things.
A crowd of people goes bad real fast.
Yeah.
Yeah, no good. Like I said, there definitely could have some... Not to say that we should, like, wipe them out of the books. People need to know that they exist. They need to hang themselves on their own stupid ideas. But I could do without that chapter of history.
At least we don't have to see him on the Jenny Jones and the Phil Donahue show anymore.
Right? Graduates are so fucking good. Take off your goddamn mask. Right? Stand up, be a man. Right. Fucking face up, like, own up to your fucking ideals. You know what I mean?
Right. Well, I know.
All right, this date in 1906. Reginald Fessenden transmits the first radio broadcast. I'm sure there's not a whole lot of people that picked that one up. But 1906, man. That's,
wow.
That doesn't... Seems like a long time ago, but it wasn't that long ago, considering
not.
What we do with Wi-Fi and radio signals and stuff now.
Yeah.
Like, I would think of Boomhauer on King of the Hill, and even that was 25 years ago. He was like, you can get a www.nakedchicks, dude. All right. On this date in 1945, the Sauter family. It's a relatively long story, but long story short, basically it was nine children and parents, and their house caught on fire. And the parents and two of the children got out, or parents and five of the children got out, but four of them did not, or five of them did not. Anyway, they were feared dead, but once they cleared and searched the house, no bodies were ever found. So the parents always believed that they survived and were either kidnapped or ran away and searched for them forever, but there was never any trace of them. But
right.
they didn't burn in the house.
Wow.
They were in the house when it started on fire.
Yeah.
And on this date in 1980, unexplained lights near the Royal Air Force Base Woodridge in Suffolk, Britain, becomes the British Roswell. So you're out for a walk on Christmas Eve, you start seeing some crazy lights by the Air Force Base. There you go. Notable births, Christmas Eve, 1905, Howard Hughes.
Big deal.
Pretty big deal. You know what? Have you ever been to his grave?
No.
It's over off of Washington, near downtown. 1922, Ava Gardner, actress. In 1923, General George Patton.
The movie was on TV the other day.
And there's no notable deaths on this fine Christmas Eve. So we're going to take a quick break, and we'll come back with new business.
They're coming. They're coming to your town. Wait till you tell the kids. The all-new Muppet Babies Live with special guest stars Miss Piggy. And Kermit.
Hello, everybody. Hi there.
The Muppet Babies Live on stage. Wait till you tell the kids.
Wednesday through Sunday, San Jose Civic Auditorium. Good seats still available at Bass and Ticketmaster Centers.
Deck the halls with M&M's, M&M's, and M&M's. Entertain with M&M's, M&M's, and M&M's. Give them as a holiday favor, M&M's, M&M's, and M&M's. Fill your shopping days with flavor, M&M's, and M&M's.
M&M candies? The milk chocolate melts in your mouth, not in your hands.
M&M's, and M&M's.
Okay.
New business is new business, and this is new business.
As you know, it was reported recently, it has now been confirmed. It is set for a 2020 release, but Jordan Peele will be working on what is now being called a spirited sequel as opposed to a reboot of the Candyman movie.
He watched Halloween and was like, ah, that's what they want. Smart man, smart man.
Candyman will be returning to the neighborhood where the legend began, the now gentrified section of Chicago where the Cabrini Green housing projects once stood. So yeah, we'll be seeing that. I'm interested in seeing it. Hopefully he does a good job with the story, and the casting is done properly. That's what I'm more worried about than anything, because Tony Todd is Candyman. I mean, period. And if they recast someone else in that role, I'd like to see if there's no word as if whether or not he'll reprise it. But I hope they don't try to If anything, I would prefer him bringing an actor I haven't seen before that's perfect for the role, as opposed to someone that's already acting.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so yeah. We'll see how that take on Clive Barker's story goes.
Speaking of reprising roles, and I don't know if it's on your list, but have you heard about RoboCop?
No. Dude, I found RoboCop 3 on VHS the other day and watched it.
It's not good.
It is a hard watch. The thing about it is, it would have been a good movie if Peter Weller would have been in it.
They're talking about doing a RoboCop, if not a reboot, but either a sequel or a remake or something, because that last one was no good. And they're courting Peter Weller for making it. And he's apparently like, I'll be on board. And then he's like, yeah, no, if it's in Detroit, I'm not going to Detroit. that's how crotchety Peter Weller is at this point. He's old, man. He's like in his late 60s or 70s.
He's got all that RoboCop money.
And he's just like, it's like, okay, I'll go shoot, because they filmed RoboCop 2 in Houston. He's like, I'll do a Houston, no problem, but I'm not going to Detroit for nothing. That's awesome.
Yeah, 3 would have been good if they would have had Peter Weller. It just didn't make sense mm-hmm. with the other guy playing RoboCop. It didn't flow. It was a hard watch.
The thing with RoboCop was, I didn't really get it when I was a kid. Just watch it again when you're a grown up. RoboCop is frame for frame. It's satire.
It's full of parody.
It is a joke.
SUX 6000.
It is as it's to be taken as seriously as Spaceballs.
Yeah, but, it's a violent one, a violent Spaceballs.
But with a serious sequel, because the sequel was not parody. The sequel carried on that story of the cyborg. So that's where they got twisted with the sequels was. RoboCop was you can't really do the sequel. It's like a standalone story.
Yeah.
But RoboCop was great.
Oh, yeah, it's awesome. What you do. Okay, you remember when earlier this year in Hawaii, the emergency management system sent out a text message saying that there's a missile heading to Hawaii. This is not a drill and shit. A Hawaii man and his partner, James Shields and Brenda Reichel are currently suing a lot of people because he says that when the alert came through, it's weird the way the alert came through January 13th. It took 38 minutes for them to correct. Well, this couple was on their way to Sandy Beach, Oahu, and they got the message. And they figured since we're going to die, should be together on the beach. So they took off to the beach anyway, thinking that a missile was coming to Hawaii. They believed it was true. They were extremely frightened, thought they were going to die. The woman's son, who's in the Hawaii Army National Guard, actually called him to say, hey, there's an alert, so he kind of confirmed that what was going on. They reached the beach, began calling loved ones. This time, Shields began to feel a severe and painful burning in his chest, and he had a heart attack. Ended up in the hospital by 9:30. They never got the message saying that it was a false alarm because they were in the hospital dealing with his heart attack. So he's suing the state of Hawaii, the former administrator of the emergency management agency, 10 unnamed employees of the state of Hawaii, 10 John Doe's and 10 Tendo entities as defendants. He's suing 32 different people, basically.
Damn.
For having a heart attack due to this mistake.
Let me ask you this, though. If you think the missile strike is imminent, why are you going to go to the hospital? Right?
This is true.
So you're like, well, the missile's coming down. Oh, my chest is hurting. Okay, well, so then I get to blink out instead of die in a fiery pain. And then whenever it comes out that it's actually, a hoax, then your wife gets to become like a multimillionaire.
Yeah.
But he went to the hospital anyway.
Yeah.
So, anyway, if I was a defense attorney, I'd be like, so why'd you go to the hospital, bro? If you thought you were going to die anyway.
Okay, in today's Darwin's theory of evolution, Hunter Brick Hall, 21 years old, of South Carolina, recently was sitting at an apartment with some friends when he pulled out his .38 caliber handgun, put one bullet in it, spun the chamber, and decided to start playing Russian roulette with his friends. Didn't end well for him. He shot himself and died at the scene at 11:30 p.m. in Anderson, South Carolina. There's still people that do that stupid. How stupid are you? You can't. Nobody's going to win.
No.
Because somebody's going to end up dying and you're all accessories.
Jesus.
Okay. Did you know Celine Dion is the devil?
I do know that.
Okay. She has recently come out with a line of gender neutral clothing for children. The line is called Celine Nu. Includes t-shirts, pants, leggings, sweatshirts, even leather jacket that can be worn by any child regardless of gender. So that's not the part of the story. Clothes is really expensive.
I'm going to sue Celine Dion for assuming my species. I need a hole cut in my pants for my tail, and she's just speciesist.
Well, there is a Catholic exorcist by the name of Monsignor John Essef who has decided to come out and say this clothing line is the devil. He's been a priest for 65 years as well as an exorcist for the Diocese of Scranton, Pennsylvania for 40 years. This clothes is so stupid, dude. Look, this is one of the gender neutral designs. Who's buying this shit for their kids, dude? Please tell me.
How is that gender neutral?
I guess because it's not pink and blue. So apparently a boy can wear those pants.
It's black and yellow tights. Look at the kid. The kid's just like, look at the face on that kid. That kid's not even old enough to look like that. Like, what the hell is wrong with you?
He said the concept of going gender neutral in anything is the work of the devil. I'm convinced that the way this gender thing has spread is demonic, he said. It's false. I don't even know how many genders there's supposed to be now, but there's only two God made. So yeah, he's saying that is basically a tool of Satanism, Celine Dion's clothing line. So,
have you seen like all of the Celine Dion Satan memes?
Yeah.
So he's not far off.
Read that headline, what we're about to get into.
That's beautiful.
Okay, here we go. Let's go to Broward County, Florida. Miss Shanetta Yvette Wilson, 37 years old, was in the checkout line at the Dollar General store. A gentleman named John Walker was standing next to her, waiting in line also, when Miss Wilson decided to fart loudly. Mr. Walker decided to call her out for her loud and obnoxious smelly fart. They got into a verbal dispute in which Miss Wilson pulled out a small lockback knife from her purse, opened the knife, and told the victim she was going to gut him for calling her out for farting in line at the Dollar General store.
Can you imagine trying to explain to St. Peter, why are you here?
This woman farted on me. This woman crop dusted me in the line at Dollar General, and I was not standing for it.
I got gutted by a bitch in the line at Dollar General because she farted.
After proclaiming she was going to gut him, she pulled her right hand back with the knife as if she was going to attack him. He was in fear he was going to get stabbed by the defendant. Police were called, and Wilson was found in the area when police arrived. She was arrested and taken to a detention facility. Her bail was set at $2,500 for farting in public and pulling a knife on someone. I don't want to get into that story. Okay. Surprise, surprise, surprise. We have a Greenlee.
All right.
As you all know, you were recently introduced to Will Greenlee, Greenlee of the T.C. Palm newspaper. He likes to write. I think his first calling should be theater, playwriting, as opposed to being a journalist. But this isn't as good of a Greenlee as we were used to seeing, but it's still a winner. Greenlee can't miss. Headline, deputy summoned after Dirty Dancing reenactment in Jensen Beach. Okay, police were called to the Total Wine and More, 2500 block of Northwest Federal Highway. A woman was said to have been trying to reenact a scene from Dirty Dancing in a business. 24-year-old Cindy Barrientos was arrested and taken to the Martin County Jail. Deputies arrived in reference to two individuals who were believed to be intoxicated and causing a disturbance. The manager reported the two women were trying to reenact a scene from the movie Dirty Dancing, the report states. Here's where we get greenly. Rated PG-13, Dirty Dancing is a film from 1987 starring the late Patrick Swayze and Jennifer Grey. It's set in the summer of 1963 as Grey's character Baby falls in love with Johnny Castle, a dance instructor played by Swayze in one of the surprise hits from that era. The movie features significant amounts of dancing.
Hence
the name. It is not clear what scene they worked to reenact. So we're not sure, you know, what scene it was. I'm hoping they were trying to reenact the log rolling scene myself, but you never know. Meanwhile, the manager said the women were trying to buy alcohol. The manager probably didn't say, "I've had the time of my life," because the women were refused service and told to leave. You like that low green lead? You like that? You threw in there? It should be noted that both subjects re-entered the business after being thrown out. One of the women was escorted out while the other was found in her vehicle. Investigators say she had bloodshot eyes and smelled of booze. She got belligerent and didn't do as told, and she was arrested on disorderly intoxication charges. So, that's our green leaf for the week.
That's awesome. It's like you assume people know what you're talking about until later you're like, oh, let me explain to you what Dirty Dancing actually is.
Dude, have you seen this giant cow? I'll take it you haven't. You know exactly what I was talking about if you've seen it.
I have not seen a giant cow today.
There's a cow named Knickers, 7-year-old Holstein Friesian that is thought to be the currently the largest cow in the world for sure. He stands 6'4" tall. This is him amongst the rest of the herd. What's cool is he's a Holstein. He's a black and white cow. All the other cows are brown. So he stands out even more, being that he's 6'4". He's a good 3 foot taller than all the other cows in the herd. They're saying that he's too big to even slaughter because he can't fit into the chute where you would slaughter cows. So he's going to live his days as an old cow, and he'll.
So all you got to do to survive the slaughterhouse is just be bigger
than
everybody. Bigger
than, be too big for the chute to go get shot in the head. That's all you got to do. But that's all I got.
All right, well, let's take a break, and we'll be right back.
Make your tree trimming a party with Kraft TV special recipes. This gala dip could become a holiday tradition. You make it with Velveeta processed cheese spread. There's no single cheese like it, and it melts so smoothly. Combine with sautéed vegetables and spinach, then serve in a sourdough bread shell or an eye-catching party platter. These festive chicken wings add a little spice to your table. They get their flavor from Kraft barbecue sauce. It's America's favorite. Just mix with Kraft orange juice and red pepper, then brush and bake. Serve with reserve sauce for dipping. Brighten a holiday platter with tangy topped potato rounds. Miracle Whip salad dressing adds a tangy zip. Combine with sour cream and Kraft Parmesan cheese and chill. Then top baked potato slices and garnish with chives and radish bits. And trim your platter with a bed of fresh greens. Kraft TV special recipes are in TV Guide magazine. Here's a special offer on a great stocking stuffer. This poster with characters from tonight's show is free at participating stores when you buy one of these Kraft products. Look in tomorrow's paper for special savings and store coupons.
Keep the merry and Christmas be JCPenney wise. That's where every clever Santa buys.
It is her. She is the one. A dream come true in Tosca's magical night dressing's dreamy sequence of styles. From whispering peignoir sets to irresistible baby dolls. Only for her. That special someone. Only at JCPenney.
Let JCPenney be the Santa for your family.
Christmas Eve.
Yes.
Santa's on his way.
Have you seen the shirt of I Still Believe?
Yeah, I saw it the other day. I meant to tag you in it. It was funny, dude.
Well, it's a couple of days before Christmas. Here's the thing. I mean, this is released on the 24th.
Yeah.
But we're not.
Yeah,
we're a couple days out.
We got time to shop.
I see those sorts of things. I think they're funny. My wife agreed to go to an ugly sweater party. And I was like, because I don't have ugly sweaters. I have sweaters that look ugly when they get on me because I'm not a pretty dude. But I was like, oh, can I said something like, what can I wear? What? She was like, yes, you can. I was like, you can wear your sexy. And I was like, wait, what? I was like, I didn't buy the sexy sax man shirt. She's like, no, not that. You can wear your Skeletor shirt. I'm like, that's not ugly Christmas party material. That's just everyday awesome. so yeah, I got to figure out I might get a sexy sax man.
That'd be money. That'd be a good one.
That is a damn good shirt. Funny thing is, and for those of you who've never seen what I actually look like, you know, I'm like 6'3". I'm skinny and fat at the same time. It is an unusual combination. Red-faced and bearded. And so I have absolutely no issues whatsoever with colors. Like, I'll wear pink. I don't give a shit. Like, I don't have any kind of masculinity tied up in my clothing. If I think something's cool, I'll just do it. So right now, your sexy sax man from the Lost Boys is featured on shirtless, blowing his horn on a pink and blue background where it says "I still believe," and he's singing a song to Santa Claus. And honestly, I think that would absolutely win the neighborhood ugly Christmas sweater.
I don't think you'd have another person there with it on for sure.
Certainly, nobody else would have that on. I might not like people. My wife might not have many friends after I leave because they'd be like. First of all, I'd walk in there and every head would just bow. Every head would bow, every eye would close, and every knee would kneel. They'd just be like, oh, you're the master of the ugly Christmas sweater. But then they'd be like, who the hell is this guy? So I might just have to go ahead and buy that.
You pull it off for sure, man. I highly recommend it.
What you got going on? What's your plans?
I'm thinking about going back home to Louisiana if I can for Christmas this year. I'll just have to see what's happening with work and everything else. Otherwise, it'll be Christmas Eve gumbo and dinner the next day. Gotta get shopping, dude. I know what I'm getting for my kids. I just haven't gotten the stuff yet. We went down to Chinatown last weekend, and the daughter's obsessed with anime, of course. And my son has taken a liking to oolong tea. So I'm going to get him a nice little tea set. Which sounds really odd, but he's dating an Asian chick.
There you go.
You know how it goes, dude. So I'm going to get him a tea set. And my daughter is just obsessed with ramen. So I'm going to get her a nice ramen set for sure. And some other things. She wants to start sewing her own costumes for cosplay. So I'm probably going to pick her up a sewing machine.
That would be cool.
And my son needs a new phone. So I'm going to try to get him a new iPhone.
You know, when you say, oh, she wants to sew her own costumes. Especially, how old is she? Like 12?
Yeah.
That. Anytime that modern kids want to be creative for any reason, wherein they actually use their hands to manipulate tools to make stuff instead of either buying it, ordering it online, or just watching other people do it. There's entire YouTube channels dedicated to watching other people open presents.
Yeah, I know.
And it's like...
And they're popular.
Yeah, they're extremely popular. And,
But you know, when you get it, I've been thinking, because my cousin has one of those YouTube channels like that, out of the box on YouTube. And when he started getting real popular, these companies would go to him and say, hey, we want to send you a box to open on your channel. And they'd send him a box with like $100 worth of shit. You know, it was just ridiculous.
Well, and that's, that No, that's cool if you're the one doing it.
Yeah.
If you're the one that's opening the box, then that's badass. Because you've got a box full of cool new crap. If you're watching the video and you're not trying to figure out how to open your own box of cool new crap, then, you know, like, that should be encouraged. Make your costumes. You know, perfect your skills. There's, you know, I grew up in a time where, like, everything I did, my parents or my grandparents or somebody would be like, oh, there's a good career in that. It's like, I started working in a grocery store as a sacker when I was like 14 years old. It's like, oh, grocery managers make good money. And it's like I don't want to run a grocery store. I want to fly starships. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. I'm not looking for a career in grocery, but, you know, there's so many creative things. Like, if I could go back in time, I would have just, like, crawled all over myself to, like, go to Stan Winston school.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's like, but I didn't even know that existed. Or if it did, it existed in the back of a comic book and it was as real as X-ray specs.
Yeah.
You know? But knowing what I know now and how few people were actually getting into that, and, like, Stan Winston and Tom Savini and guys like that were like, come on, somebody, we got to start a college because we don't have enough people doing this to fulfill all the jobs. Oh, man, how cool would that be?
Oh, yeah.
Can you imagine being the guy who created Pumpkinhead?
Oh, yeah.
You know, like,
even working on the team. You know? Yeah. But, yeah, she told me she wanted to learn how to sew, and I was like, just take home ec. They don't do shit like that in school anymore, man. They don't get these kids ready for real life at all.
Nope. Get her a sewing machine, man. Get her a good
pair. Yeah, I'm gonna teach her how to sew. Luckily, I already know how, so. Yeah, that's what I'm going to work on, so.
That's awesome, dude. Yeah, I'm not sure. As far as presents for my kids, well, here's the thing, and this is not a complaint. This is a blessing. But my kids, between my mom and my wife's mom and aunts and uncles and cousins,
they get taken care of.
They get more crap, and they don't play with most of it. You know, they get so much of it at one time that's kind of overwhelming.
Yeah.
So instead of buying them a bunch of stuff, we have a couple of little things. It's so that mom and dad, but we're taking them to see the Nutcracker. We're kind of trying to fill up their stuff with stuff that we can either use up and remember or have a little experience. Because we're going to have so much stuff from everybody else that I don't have a whole lot piled up under the tree. So, haven't quite gotten everything figured out. But, dude, my one little one, my five-year-old, last year, she watches the show Spirit on Netflix. Last year, she got her Spirit horses. And it's been literally the only thing she's played with every single day for hours on end since last Christmas. So for her birthday, we got her a barn. And she's been playing with her horses in that barn. I mean, it's just perfect. So she doesn't need a whole lot. So she's just content. She's happy. So my other one is going to start getting a little bit towards... She's doing Girl Scouts. She wants to go camping with me. She wants to kind of do some stuff. So I got to start teaching her some skills. Teaching her a little bit of knife skills. And by knife skills, I mean, here's how to cut your crusts off your own sandwich without cutting your finger off, sort of stuff. So, kind of, like you said, they don't have home ec anymore.
Right.
So
that's crazy, dude. That is crazy.
Some sort of ist. Probably.
So I took home ec at school. It's one of the places I learned how to sew. And my mom taught me the rest.
Yep. I think it was available, but I had too much other stuff.
Those life skills are just going away. Do they still do typing in school? Because I remember I took typing, too. Glad I did. Typing's one of the ones that I'm very glad that I took.
I'm sure most people could type these days.
I recently learned they don't teach cursive anymore. I didn't know that.
Yeah, they don't teach cursive
anymore. How do you develop a signature if you don't know cursive? I don't know. It just boggles my mind.
Remember the old... old movies where they're like, come up, it's like your wage or whatever. It's like here's your wage, make your mark. Because they don't actually have signatures anymore. Yeah. It's just kind of like hashtag Bay. That's my mark. That's who I am.
And then today at work, Peter, it just kind of made me laugh. He goes, hey, I'm waiting for a postcard from Google. And I'm like, they call here 10 times a day trying to get us, you know, the automated message thing. What is Google doing sending a postcard? And he was like, but they got to prove your address for their Google listings. I'm like, they use a postcard for that? Shouldn't they send the Google car over to take a picture or right? some shit?
No, just Google Earth it. Just type in your address and like, yep, that looks like a...
I'm afraid that I might have threw the postcard away, though. That's the thing, because I get those postcards. It's junk mail to me, you know? I wasn't expecting a Google postcard to come
in. So there's this place... it's over off of like Derry Ashford and near West Park. And remember in we were talking about it a couple weeks ago, the movie Dragnet, how they had the pagan society. Yeah. Yeah. And it was just kind of like this weird spot where they'd go to a place and it was perfectly normal, and then at night it would just get all paganed out and then whatever. So there's this place, and if you look it up, like it took me a little bit of Google Foo to find it. But it's like this universal life something or other. But there's this compound over off of Derry Ashford, and I think the street's called Medfield. And it's this white building. Looks kind of like a museum or a planetarium. It's got this giant golden orb on the top. It's like a... It's not like a... It's like a dodecahedron. It's like a faceted circle.
Yeah.
And, So I was asking one of the guys one, because it's been abandoned. So it's abandoned.
Can you see it from the West Park Tollway?
Yeah.
I used to see it all the time when I'd go to work at Halliburton.
And so it's abandoned and has been for a long time. So I was asking one of the guys, because you know, one of the people I know that's over there, I was like, what is that place? And he's like, oh man, you don't need to be asking questions about that place. And I was like,
now I really want to know.
Well, now I really, you know, what is going on? He's like, this is what I know. He's like, my store's been here for 10 years. He says, I have cops that come in here, and I ask them about that place. They say that don't ask about that place. He says, but on my way home, I drive past it, and there's lights on, and there's people there, and they've got armed security. But it's got no trespassing signs, and somebody does the yard. Like, somebody keeps the grounds. But it's all locked. It's under
underground locked. Fight club over there or some shit.
So I look it up online, you know, because you can Google Earth it.
Yeah.
Like, you can Google Earth. Like, you can't... Well, I'm sure you could. There's a real estate listing for it. So it kind of seems on the up and up, except for the, like, whatever's going on at night when that isn't going on at night. But apparently it was built as some sort of, like... I don't know. It's a church, basically. It was built, but the woman, there was some guy who ran, some Asian guy who ran some sort of, you know, charismatic offshoot of Buddhism or something. And it was a movement. It was some sort of universal life church. And then the guy got sick and he died and left it to his partner, who was this woman. Well, she reached out to the United States government and was like, hey, I've got to take this guy home to China and bury him. And they're like, well, if you leave, you can't come back. Like, immigration style. So she left anyway, and immigration wouldn't let her come back. This was in 1999. And this place has sat empty since 1999. But somebody does the yard.
Right.
And somebody hosts events in there with armed security, and nobody knows who owns it or why.
That's crazy, like, man.
That is the weirdest thing I've ever heard. That is so cool. There's ghetto apartments around it.
Yeah, so. I know exactly where it is. Man. I used to see it all. I thought it was some kind of Islamic temple or something. I used to see it all the time.
That's what I thought it was.
It's like
was
a big golf ball.
Yeah.
It's like a big old golf ball sitting on top of the building.
Yeah, it's not an Islamic temple. It's like, it was some kind of a Buddhist thing or some kind of New Age Buddhist offshoot. But yeah. But 1999 since anybody's been allowed to be in there. And it's not for sale. Like, you go on property listings, it's listed for what it is, but not it's not for sale. The government's like, nope, you can't come back. She's like, well, I'll come back anyway. They're like, nah. All right, so what movies are you going to watch? What are you going to make sure to watch here in the next couple of days?
Die Hard, for sure.
Have you seen the Die Hard Christmas ornament?
Yeah. I saw it last year. That was pretty cool. You could make it. Just got to make a foil box, take a picture, and put it in. But I saw a debate today, somebody debating whether or not Die Hard was a Christmas movie. I'm like, yeah, it is. This is one of the best Christmas movies.
You know, the biggest freaking flaw in that debate, because it's 100% a Christmas movie, except that it was a summer blockbuster. It was released in the summertime.
Right.
So it isn't, like, Gremlins was released at Christmas.
Yeah.
Die Hard wasn't. It just took place at Christmas. It has become a Christmas movie.
And Gremlins is the other one, of course.
Yeah.
That we're going to watch. Christmas Story, every year, of course. I give that at least one watch.
You know, Farkas follows us on Twitter.
Yeah, I know. Scott Farkas.
He's had yellow eyes. he's a cool guy, and but that's badass, because I'm like, hey, man, I'll take it. Like, you're one of the classic villains in movie history right there. And Ralphie beat your ass. Of course, we're going to watch Elf. Everybody likes Elf.
That's a good one. I want to watch that new one on Netflix with
Kurt Russell.
Kurt Russell is Santa Claus. It's good.
It is. My friend Ben posted, it is, and it's true. It's every Christmas in distress movie that's ever been made. Exactly. It's got the shitty kids. It's got the crash sleigh. Nobody believes it is Santa
Claus. Same formula, pretty much.
But it's got Kurt Russell in it, and he's
great.
He's a national treasure. It's so good, dude. So it makes it enjoyable to watch just because he's in it.
Also, want to see if it's still on Netflix, but there was that, I think I told you about it last year, there was the Christmas horror movie where it was like three different stories intertwined within each other, and it was three different stories set up, and then there was a fourth overarching story where it was
the Christmas horror story with William Shatner.
No. I think it is. With the zombie elves and stuff?
Yes.
Yes. Yeah. I wanted to try to find that one, see if it's still on there.
I saw that one.
I saw it last year. It's a cool movie, man.
That was awesome. That was a completely unexpected.
Because they had a Krampus tail in it. That was a cool movie.
Yeah, that was a completely unexpected treat. Like, I remember sitting down being like, oh, well, because I was looking. Oh, yeah, because I wanted to do Krampus for the show. And Netflix didn't have it.
Yeah, that was the closest thing they had. So, that would come up whenever you search for it.
Yeah. But that was a really good show. It was
Santa Claus is badass in that one. He was ready to kill some zombie elves, dude. It was cool. I want to try to find that one and check it out again.
Like, the dude's like mental illness just went whenever he's just like, he's like, you know, Christmas sucks, and he puts it up on the radio window, so William Shatner's drinking eggnog. He's like, oh, some people just don't have the spirit. Because that dude was leaving to go, well, we're not going to spoil it for you. That was good stuff.
It's a good little movie.
Whenever,
I enjoyed it thoroughly.
Whenever the zombie elves, and then you kind of find out who they really were, and you're just like, holy
shit. Yeah.
This dude's been tearing it up.
Because you don't really understand what's going on until the very end.
No, you don't. Well, you think that Santa's being invaded.
Yeah.
You know, by a virus. Kind of. So, I tried. I used to love these holiday specials when I was a kid. But Rudolph and the Island of Misfit Toys is not a good movie.
I read an article today about just the new take on Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. People have been bashing the shit out of it. as of recently.
Well, I'm not even coming from a social justice warrior thing, guys. That's stupid. It's just not good. It's not well written.
Those movies weren't very good. When we were kids, they were cool because it was a stop motion animation and everything.
But it's like
the stories are horrible.
It's long as hell for no reason at all. That's the thing. It's like there's scene after scene after scene of nothing happening. And it's like the stop motion's hard enough. You'd think as an editor, you'd be like, do we really need to have this scene where the kid, the deer's yelling at? At him for like blinking. You stop blinking your nose. I'm trying. Stop it. I'm trying. Stop it. You're like, that scene could be cut out. Like, I tried. It wasn't very good. There's a new Grinch movie.
I know.
With Doctor Strange. I think it's.
Yeah, it's him. Yeah. Yeah, I don't know why they felt the need to remake that one again. The last remake kind of failed a little bit that they tried to do with Jim Carrey. It's like it's just the Grinch holds up.
Yeah, it's fine. And the saddest part about like the worst part about the Grinch was him beating that damn dog.
Yeah, he was very abusive to his damn dog.
But yeah, tried to watch Misfit Toys last night and was just like, yeah, but I'll just go hang out at Daniel's shop. That's the only Misfit Toys I need.
What do you think of the Lion King remake while we're on the subject? It is the exact same movie, just that's CGI.
That's what I've
it's
heard.
It's exactly just, the same, except it's CGI.
It's just, yeah. Which, I don't know.
Somebody called it a live action. I'm like, no. It's not live action. It's CGI. It's still animation.
Yeah, the live action Lion King was Black Panther, actually. I didn't realize it, but it
Somebody put up some pictures the other day.
Well, yeah, like once they pointed out the plot thing, it was like, oh, shit, yeah, you're right. That Black Panther is Lion King. The one hand, it's got James Earl Jones in it, so it can't be bad. Like, it's got to be... It's at least... If it's a 6 by his presence, it immediately goes to an 8. So...
Yeah.
Just by virtue of him being in it. I don't know. Like, is it necessary?
I know.
That's no, my thing. Not really. Probably not. You've spent some money on making something
It's else. The same story, just costing a lot more to make.
Is there money to be squeezed out of it?
Oh, yeah, you know people are going to go see it. For the sake. Yeah.
My kids will probably just... They'll love it, so...
Are we going to do Bambi next? You know, what else are we going to do the same treatment to?
Yeah.
You know, forget about the classics and have all these new CGI ones that...
Well, nothing's sacred, so... No. Like we said, RoboCop. You know, the RoboCop reboot. The Lethal Weapon TV show reboot, not so much. There's a Magnum P.I. reboot. There's a Hawaii 5-0 reboot. There's
everything.
There's a Miami Vice movie like a few years ago with Colin Farrell.
Yeah.
Speaking of Miami Vice, okay, you've heard of the Mandela Effect.
Yeah.
In my memory, Crockett and Tubbs were killed. That's how Miami Vice ended. They died. And I went on a couple of different forums, and apparently that's a thing. The end of Miami Vice ended, the final scene of Miami Vice, they were killed in a shootout with the drug guys, the Russian guys. And the other detective or the chief or whatever, played by Edward James Olmos, he walked in the warehouse, and it's got In the Air Tonight playing over it. And he's walking around looking at the different dead bodies, and he finally stumbles onto
Crockett and Tubbs.
Crockett and Tubbs, and they're gone. And that ends the show. And I remember that. I remember sitting in the living room watching that. I remember being shocked as fuck that they would do that to end a show. They tried it with Magnum P.I., and it didn't work.
Yep.
So they brought him back for another season. So, and they also did it with Dallas, and they brought that back. So, why would you do this with, you know, probably the most popular show that's on TV, but they killed him. And I've walked around with this image in my head for the last 30 years. But no, they apparently just walked off the force. And I dreamed this up out of nowhere. It's like, why would I dream this up out of nowhere? We were religious, man. We went to church like every few Sundays, but we watched Miami Vice, like, it was on. So, but yeah, dude, like, that's weird, because I have zero memory of them just, like, quitting. Nobody quit.
It's the way they end the show.
They got killed. They got shot down, they went out in a rain of fire. But, anyway, just one of those kind of weird asides, but it's not very Christmassy. It's very Miami, Phil Collins, and
Don Johnson.
Don Johnson-y. Maybe if I can find an old copy on VHS or something, maybe it'll have the real ending on it. Son of a bitch!
The director's cut.
Gotta watch Gremlins.
Oh, yeah. Always.
Have you seen the Nika Ultimate Gremlin?
No.
I'm not sure how big it is, but it comes with a bunch of different accessories. So you can, like, make the 3D Gremlin.
Or, well, see, I got the one that has the 3D glasses, has the popcorn, has the buzzsaw.
Yeah.
The saw blade and everything.
They need to have a fan Gremlin. Remember the one that was on the fan and she turned it up so it spun him off? That would be awesome. You just, like, stick it on your on the bottom of your shelf. Turn it on and he just kind of spins. That would be a good Nika.
I know they came out with a female gremlin from part 2.
Yeah.
That's a recent one that they came, and also the spider gremlin from part 2, which is a wicked, wicked gremlin, dude. But yeah, Gremlins is always a Christmas movie that you got to check out.
Without your kids.
My kids can handle it. My kids are old enough to where they can handle it. So.
Yeah, but I saw it, like I said, I saw it in theater when I was like 7 or 8 years old.
It's a scary movie.
It's scary as hell. And it tells you that there's no such thing as Kurt Russell. Which is patently untrue. Because he's right there in the red suit. I don't know. If I get a couple of days off, no kids around, I think I'll watch The Thing, because just Kurt Russell in the snow.
Yeah.
It's kind of a, like...
I haven't seen that one in a while. Probably need to watch it soon. When I say a while, it's probably been a couple of months, which I like to watch The Thing a lot. It's an awesome movie, dude.
Well, you haven't got Fresh Eyes on the Fly yet either, have you?
Yeah, no.
You have it?
I got it at home. Just need to watch it.
Yeah, because...
Well, I got a lot of movies to watch right now, so...
Well, no, I mean, there's a lot. Well, you even said at the end of, like, 2 episodes ago, it's like, we need to do The Fly. It's like, Scott needs to do The Fly. Well, I mean, we can talk about The Fly, but...
Let's plan on doing it next week.
But, yeah, just kind of... Again, Kurt Russell in the snow. So this movie has inspired me to watch RJ burn some blood. Such a perfect movie.
It's awesome, dude. Especially the thing I've always been most impressed about with The Thing are the special effects, especially from the time that it came out. Those were just... The special effects hold up so well. You know, it's hard to find a movie from the 80s that the special effects can compare to movies today.
Right.
And it definitely can.
Anything new that you want to check out?
Not that I can really think of.
Other than The Lion King or...
I don't really want to see that one. No, nothing that is really that's coming out anytime soon.
I'm telling you what, man. It's like, you know how you like when you read a really good book and you finish it and you can't read anything for a few days because it's just still in your head? Hill House, when that ended, it almost felt like a breakup. Like, it was that... It was so good that when it ended, it was like left you feeling empty inside. Yeah. And I'll scroll through and I'll see, be like, because you watched Hill House,
I've heard the Sabrina series is actually pretty good.
It's not pretty good.
It's not, okay. I heard it was nothing like the Sabrina Teenage Witch bullshit.
It's not. And there's a lot of people that like it, and I'm not going to knock it. I'm not knocking it on... not going to knock it for what it is, or whatever. So, but basically, it's kind of the same... It's a similar situation. It's just a much, much, much darker scenario. So Sabrina is a teenage witch, and on her 16th birthday, she's going to go to the witch's academy. And it's her growing up, or coming of age, on her 16th birthday. She's going to sign her name in the book of the devil's book, basically. Promise her soul to Satan. And in this world, there's a satanic cabal that she's part of, and her aunts are part of it, and they actually have real powers. And the cat is a demon that's her familiar. And it's very dark, and there's, like I said, the rituals, and she actually sees the devil himself, like this horned goat man that is beckoning her to join forces with them. Okay, so that's straight up heavy metal video out of the 80s, and you're like, that's fucking righteous, right? Except for this. She does not act in any way, shape, or form like a person who would be in the midst of all this would. Right? So she's got obligations to the devil that she's been obligated to because of her birthright that she just pisses away. She's like, nope, I don't feel like doing that. She's like naively confident for no real good reason. And it's like, whether you believe in God or the devil, either one, in real life, if the devil showed up in his true form, not in a dream, but like straight up in front of you in your cubicle at work and was like, you will do my bidding or I will have your soul, and and you're just like, eh. You'd be like, no, nobody would act like that. They would be shitting bricks, and those bricks would be shitting bricks. And she's just like, eh, I'm a very confident sort of person. I'm an independent woman. And you're like, so when you realize that you're dealing with that kind of stupidity, then like three episodes later, you're like, am I still watching this? So if you liked Sabrina, whatever. But
this wasn't your thing.
It was after Hill House.
Yeah.
No, dude, that was like watching The Thing, and then watching like some episode of fucking Odd Squad. It was like there's masterpiece, and then there's
right.
So no, can't even compare. Shouldn't even be on the same screen. I think we made it through like episode 4 or something, and I was just like, this is dumb. My wife's like, I like it. And then she's like, yeah, it got dumber. Alright, so yeah, I don't even think we're in the middle of watching something right now. I want to do something. Have you seen the it's a trailer, Peter Jackson of Lord of the Rings fame. He took all of the footage from World War I and he digitized it. Like, you know how we talked about using CGI
to clean up stop motion?
Yeah. He digitized all of this footage from soldiers from World War I and colorized them. And they look real. So instead of having like this choppy black and white, almost not real person, he slowed it down and they become real. It's a documentary that they're putting out.
Okay.
Check it out on YouTube. It is terrifying.
Really?
Because they're at war. They're being shot at and stuff. Whereas before, you just see them kind of like, they kind of look like a cartoon, where now it's like slowed down and enhanced. And you see the bomb go off and you see the guy actually flinching and shit. It looks amazing. So that's something to keep your eye on. Okay. That's something that I'm certainly going to pay attention to.
Right.
So I've been yammering on. What you got?
I don't know. Well, I'm doing a gumbo and everything. Any other traditional foods or drinks? I'm going to make my homemade eggnog this year. I haven't done that in a while.
Nice. I'll let the cider and the mead, I have let I needed to clear it all out, basically. So I always had either like two or three bottles in the closet fermenting, and then something in the bottom in here aging, and just different. And like, okay, I'm going to get all of that drunk, cleared out, and I'm going to start fresh and new and then try some different variants. So, not this year, but probably next year, I'll have a whole new line of ciders and meads. Mm-hmm. And the mead, I want to get a bigger bottles, because aging it in the beer bottles, it's just doesn't taste the same. Age it in a wine bottle. Of course, we do the traditional, the turkey and the stuffing and the dressing and the gravy. Let me ask you this. So last year I started doing the gravy with the roux as opposed to taking the chicken broth and then adding the flour off the top and getting it lumpy. Started with butter and flour and doing a roux and building it up from the bottom. And then you put the... Here's my problem. Cook the flour for a good long time till it finally starts to brown. Then I pour my stock on it that's boiling, that's equally as hot as my oil. Mm-hmm. That flour erupted.
Yeah.
And got so thick so fast that I had to actually scoop stuff out of it in order to like properly. So in other words, I use like a cup of butter and maybe half a cup of flour. And I end up pouring out a tremendous amount of floofed flour out of it. How do you get that roux to not, like... How do you get that roux to just kind of, like, build as opposed to, like, popping like that?
Well, what you want to do is make your roux instead of the side, then go ahead and heat up your water, and then pour the roux into it slowly. Whisk it in and just let it build from there.
Then so don't put the liquid on top of the... root because it was too hot or something.
Yeah,
just reacted.
Yeah. It reacted fast.
Okay,
it's gonna congeal.
Hey, it turned out good after I got rid of like half.
If it's real, unless you let it cool down. If you want to just let it cool down and then put it on top of it and build it from there too.
I guess it just got too hot. Yeah, standing there for
that's all it was.
Long time.
You let it cool down.
It still turned out wonderfully. I'm sitting there just being like, okay, I put like half a cup of sugar in here and I'm scraping out like 6 cups. Of poofed flour, like, what the hell? It's going nuts on me, but no, it turned out really well. I just want to make sure it didn't like the guy who threw a cigarette down the methane hole.
All the firemen, they don't know how to fry turkeys.
Man, poor firemen.
Well, the thing about it is, you know, they do all those fried turkey warning videos and stuff, and I always think to myself, are there really people that are that stupid that are going to put a frozen turkey? It just, you know, dropping it in the oil. I guess I've been frying turkeys for so long. It amazes me that people don't think.
Well, people don't think, but then there's also stuff that maybe doesn't occur to you, I guess. And it's not a matter of being smart, because, I mean, there's been certain things where, you know, it's like, if I put two and two together in my head without taking it to the next level, it makes sense. If I were to do this, then this should follow, and then this will happen. And then I'll YouTube it, and it'll be like, under no circumstances do you do step one, because you'll die. And it's like, oh, I am so glad that YouTube exists, because I would have just, like, it never would occur to me that there's going to be some kind of gas release.
Right.
I just, you know, it's like, water reacts to oil. No problem. Logically, though, there's nothing in there but water and carbon to begin with.
But would you cook a frozen turkey?
No, that would be stupid.
That's what I mean, you know?
But don't they explode if they're just a little wet, too?
Well, you want to dry them off, but you don't want pools of water in it. But if it's you're going to have a reaction with any kind of water you have on it. But it's just a matter of having the proper displacement.
Yeah.
To where it's not going to boil over the top of the pot. That's the other thing. You know, you got to understand displacement. fill a bathtub up too high and you get in it, the water's going to go over the side. It's the same principle pretty much with a turkey and oil and open flame. But I guess people just don't realize certain things.
People are this stupid. They don't, I mean, there's a reason why there's warnings on stuff.
There's warnings on hammers.
Yeah. Jesus, dude, you watch the car commercial. Not the one where the guy is doing a loop-de-loop on a fake Hot Wheels track or jumping a ramp. You've got a guy taking this car down a straight, somewhat curvy mountain pass. And it says, do not attempt.
This is trained drivers. Professional drivers.
Do not attempt to drive down the road in a car. Like, we all know cars are dangerous. But are you telling me, as the manufacturer of the car, that I can't drive it down the road? Or not to, don't even try, don't even attempt it. Damn, dude.
We've dumbed down as a society.
Big time. Yeah. I'm not saying, like, we kill everybody. Just take the warning signs off of the stuff.
And let Doran do his work.
It really does trip me out, because it is that weird dichotomy, the certain things that you don't notice. You don't notice it till you do. And then once it's seen, it can't be unseen. I've probably mentioned it on the show before, and I'm not making any kind of statement about these particular issues or these people, you know, but let's say people who are left-leaning, say liberals, they tend to believe less in God or some sort of higher power and more in reason, science, and logic, like Darwin, Darwinistic theories, so evolution. Liberalism and evolution sort of, on a surface, kind of goes hand in hand, whereas you take conservatives, they're a little bit more religious, they're more kind of seated in tradition, they're more apt to reject evolution as a concept. But it's the liberals who will be like, no, evolution, the strong survival of the fittest, except for everybody else.
We can't let anything die.
We gotta put warning labels on everything,
right?
We gotta save everything. We can't just leave it to its own devices, because survival of the fittest is obviously a shitty model, because it's only sustained us for billions of years. But on the very flip side, it's like no, God will take care of everything. like except for, you know, we're gonna go out and shoot everything. Like, we have to manage the land in order to keep it right. We have to do that. God's not gonna do it.
Right.
So it's like a completely opposite dichotomy from what you actually fundamentally believe. And I sit over here being like, dude, just don't make hamburgers more expensive. Like, I don't give a shit what you believe as far as, like, Darwin ate stuff to extinction, I think. So, strange little, that's what happens when you get books for Christmas. You learn stuff.
So basically the dumbing down of America is happening because of warning labels.
Dude,
essentially,
the dumb people are breeding because they're not reading the labels on things. And the smart people are reading the labels on things, like, do not attempt. So they don't get into cars, and they don't drive down the road, and they don't impress their girlfriends. They don't have more babies. The smart people, they're dying out, man. I don't know. What else we got? We got a couple more minutes, and then it is time for opening presents.
Okay.
Eggnog. Let's see. You said eggnog. I got a shitload of whiskey in there. It's time to roll down. What about St. Nick? You still...
My kids are past all that, so...
I don't think I ever will be. It's too much fun.
Oh, it's a lot of fun.
I'll still sneak stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, you gotta do that. Yeah, dude, they gotta have the presents that pop up Christmas Day.
So.
But my kids know where they come from now.
the object is to be sneaky as hell. Like, I don't know. I don't know exactly the best example, but
I used to do it real well with the kids when they still believed in Santa Claus and stuff. They and the Easter Bunny and everything else. They had no clue.
They're starting to get smarter now, so I'm having to be a little bit more careful. gotta keep that thing living for a while though. So once that's gone,
that's it.
Then you have to like start having talks about drugs and stuff. If you're gonna do drugs, just make sure you bring them to me first, so I can sample them and make sure they're good.
Make sure they're good.
Is it Almost Famous, where she's like drops him off at the concert because she's like doesn't want to, but he has to write the paper for his thing.
Yeah.
She's like, hey. He's like, yeah. She's like, don't do drugs. And he's just kind of like, okay. All right, man. Well, it's time to go break into the liquor cabinet.
Well, let's go get it done.
Everybody, thank you for another year of laughs. Hopefully, after the snafu from a couple weeks ago, we got our numbers laid out right. But, Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, Happy Holidays.
See you next year.
And, well, we got one more, I think.
The 24th, yeah. We got one more. Christmas before. The New Year's Eve.
Yeah.
Spectacular.
We got a New Year's Eve spectacular.
We'll have to do a recap of 2018.
Probably do that. We'll get a pre-roll. Maybe we'll get Chris over here and make it a double. Anyway, guys, Merry Christmas. Keep it scary.
Later.